welcome you to another edition of El Paso Primetime, a production of KTEP. Tis the season of giving, tis the season for great stories, and without further ado, one of two great stories that are from El Paso. We'll start here with our host, Noemi Rojas.
Good afternoon. My name is Noemi Rojas, and welcome to El Paso Primetime. I am the editor of Synapse, the region's life sciences news digest, and today I have a couple of interesting guests. The topic is autism. I have Maria de la Rosa. She is a stay-at-home mom, and she is the mother of a 15-year-old boy here in El Paso who has autism. I also have at the microphone Elsa Morick. She is the marketing director of Double Scope Films, which is a local filmmaking company. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us here.
Have you always been a stay-at-home mom?
Actually, no. I was working for a company for many years, and I decided to stay at home to help my son with therapies and doctor appointments that usually by working I wouldn't be able to take him to therapies and all the stuff that needs to be done for these children with autism.
He's your only child?
I have three. He's the youngest of them all. I have a 24-year-old, a 17-year-old, and my son.
And as I understand autism, it's a spectrum, right? You can be a high-level, high-functioning with autism, and then there's the at what stage or what point in the spectrum is your son?
He's a high functioning in the spectrum. Autism is the fastest growing disorder. It's a spectrum, like you say. Only one child is the same, making it difficult to find the right treatment and strategies to treat them.
And so he goes to public school. He's mainstream in the main regular classroom. Is that right?
Yes, he does have special education, but he is mainstreamed into some classes in high school, which makes me very happy that he is part of some of the classes, the regular classes.
Well, I came across your story because I met Elsa, and listeners are probably wondering what Double Scope Films has to do with this story. But as I understand, your son wrote a story and by chance happened to meet some filmmakers here in El Paso. The filmmakers would say that your son struck a chord in them. And so now the project is rolling where they are making an animated full-length movie film based on his story. Your son's name is Robert.
Yes.
Can you tell us, Elsa, how long has a project been going now? And, you know, how is it working with Robert? Because he's very involved in the filmmaking process, right?
Well, our producer, Louise, met Robert about 9 months ago at a mixer for autism. Robert came up to him and he told him, you know, they'll make a movie about me someday. And that registered in Luis's mind, and he came back to us and he pitched the idea about making a movie based on a script that a young boy with autism wrote. We all fell in love with the idea. This was, about 9 months ago. And I personally met Robert 4 months ago, because I was overseas when they had met him. And that's actually when ideas for the project started coming to life, which was 9 months ago, but nothing was really set in stone yet. When I met him 4 months ago, when we surprised him at his house, that was the first day that everything really started happening. It was the first day that the whole team was together, everyone was on board, and the movie started coming to life. And that was 4 months ago in September. Robert has written this script. I believe he wrote it a long time ago. But I fell in love with it, too. I read it. It's a really cool story. And yeah, we have a graphic designer who is working with Robert. She's drawn out the characters for him.
Robert drew the characters.
No, he chose them.
Okay.
He chose them. He's very meticulous about what he wants, which I respect in him. He's very honest about what he wants, very picky, but he has good taste. So he worked with her. He told her exactly how he wanted his characters to look. We have the Fab Lab. Actually, they're going to print out our characters. And we have a writer, Austin Savage. He is writing our script at the moment, and he's also working with Robert. And he's just helping him flesh out a script, because Robert's script was amazing, but it's not enough to make a full feature. So we have a professional writer helping him with that.
And that's part of Robert's autism, is it? He's very blunt, as I understand. I've never met him. Could you describe him for us?
Yes, my son will express his emotions. Of course, there's no filter there. In his mind, you know, he will say what he thinks, anything that goes through his mind. So I have to work very hard with him, with his therapist, and trying to explain to him what is appropriate, what's not appropriate, and, you know, go from there or hope for the best.
And you live in Northeast El Paso?
Yes, I live in Northeast.
And what school does he go to?
Currently is going to Del Valle. They have a wonderful program that will help children like my son to reach the best that they can do with by teaching them social skills and still speech therapy and other types of therapies that he receives there.
And what makes this film project really special is that all of the money that it makes will go towards a vision that you have. What is your vision?
I'm working currently on opening a specialized school for autism. It would be so beneficial to the community of El Paso because it would focus not only on the educational part, but also on developmental interventions, behavior, speech, occupational therapy, any kind of therapy that the child would need to help them succeed in their life.
So aren't those services, don't they exist now in El Paso?
Fortunately, I have been very fortunate that in the district that my son goes to, they do exist. Some schools and some districts don't offer everything the child needs for many reasons. It could be economic reasons. It could be that the child hasn't been diagnosed correctly. But a lot of children fall into the cracks and they don't get the help they need to succeed in their life with autism. And I want to offer this for the community so that the parents and the families don't have to struggle and go through some sad stories that I've heard and some things that I've gone through myself as well growing up with my child with autism.
In case you're joining us, we are talking to Maria de la Rosa. She is a stay-at-home mom of a 15-year-old boy who has autism. We're also talking to Elsa Morick. She is the marketing director at Double Scope Films in El Paso. Can you share with us some of the heartbreaking stories? Are there a lot of gaps in services? Also, can you talk about that?
Yes, I have found through my own experience that at first when I was told my son was diagnosed, I just left it up to the school to provide services for him. I was working and I found myself trusting in every way in the school. And fortunately, they did a very good job helping him. But when my son reached the age of 10, something struck. I don't know if it was the hormones or it must have been, you know, but he regressed. And his autism got, I would say his behavior due to his autism got the best of him because we've had some really heartbreaking problems at home. We did have to put him in the hospital, in the psychiatric hospital here in El Paso. And it was very heartbreaking for the whole family because we didn't know we had to do that. And it was due to his behavior and his autism and also other issues that played a big role in putting him in the hospital. But mostly, I think if I would have helped him more with therapies and earlier in life, besides the school, just helping, I think he would have not had to go through that, and us as a family as well.
So do you feel that there could have been some services that you wish we had here that we don't have here?
Yes, that's correct. I think that early intervention is the key. And I think that in my part, I didn't do enough. And I want to help families get the best of services that they can early in their child's life so they can hopefully not go through what we went through as a family.
And so what you want to start is a center, or would you call it a school?
I want to call it a school because I want to educate the kids and prepare them for possibly even public schools. You know, they some children can't speak. Some children will, they're very intelligent, but they can't express by vocalizing what they know, what they feel. So they would need technical assistance. There's a lot of different resources that I want to bring into the school to help each individual with autism early on. So it would be an elementary, it would be a school specializing in autism.
Maybe it would be more like a school, but also a one-stop resource center, so that maybe even at the preschool or even earlier ages.
That's correct. The earlier, the better. As soon as they see that there is something different about their child, I noticed it when my son was about 24 months, that he was acting different than my two other daughters. And so I took him to the doctor, but the result was that he was just a boy, that I should just wait. But I think that if we have the resources like a school, where we have a psychologist and other therapists that specialize in this particular spectrum, they would be diagnosed sooner. So again, early intervention is the key.
What were some of the signs you had seen?
With my son, he would rock back and forth and would become very, very happy and excited and flap his hands parallel to his head and his eyes. And he would flap them and he would get really tense, but at the same time excited and just focus on that particular toy that he liked, which the toy had lights and it would rotate. Another sign was that he was not speaking by the time. He was not saying anything. He was 2 years old, and he would just look at me and point at certain things that he wanted. Also, he would line up toys or movie, the video VHS. He would line up everything all throughout the house. It was very different and strange. And he also had a toy, a Tonka truck, and he would flip it around and just go really fast all around the house. So he would just do different things that my daughters didn't do, and that I just thought it was very unusual, and that's what brought me the question to why.
Yeah, moms know.
Yes.
Even if even if doctors don't have a answer or a diagnosis.
Yes.
You know, moms often have to go through a lot to search through and find the answer. And what you're doing could help a lot of parents maybe not struggle as much. Yes. So as I understand, you have a board for your school and you've done a lot of planning. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I started planning. I started calling, doing research, and I found that I do need to have a board, and I already do, a board of members that will help me through this, will have meetings, and they're already on board. They already know who they are, and I need to sign up for a nonprofit organization. It's a long process to start this, and once I have my nonprofit, I can raise money for this to become a reality.
And that's where Double Scope Films will help you. Double Scope Films, in addition to making an animated film, they are having a fundraiser. Can you tell us when and where?
Yes, we are having a fundraiser, a Christmas party / fundraiser, at the DoubleTree Hotel in downtown El Paso on Monday, the 22nd of December at 7 p.m. This party is open to the community. There's going to be dinner, dessert, drinks. There is no charge, no entrance, but we do recommend a minimum of a $10 donation because we are trying to raise funds for our movie.
So get on out there if you haven't been to downtown lately. It is transforming. the all of El Paso really is transforming, even with all the roads, the infrastructure. It's amazing how much we're changing. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Say hello to Robert and good luck to him.
Thank you. I sure will.
Thank you, Elsa, for coming.
Thank you so much for having us.
And you've been listening to El Paso Primetime. My name is Noemi Rojas. Have a nice day.
The full-length version of this conversation will be up shortly under the archives of El Paso Primetime. It's a rather riveting conversation that I'm sure you'll want to have to listen to or to even download for your own personal use. Next week are luminarias all over the city, but specifically on Scenic Drive. And welcome back to the second segment of El Paso Primetime. And joining us this afternoon is the Public Information Officer to Centro de Salud Familiar La Fe, Estela Reyes Lopez, joins us once again. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Dennis. Thanks so much for having me today.
Listen, it's my pleasure and my honor to have you and your organization on because it's something really important coming up next Saturday evening.
Yes, we have the 23rd annual Navidad de la Fe Luminarias. Anyone who lives in El Paso loves our beautiful scenic drive. And once a year, our organization, La Fe, heads up there and pretty much takes over the mountain at dawn, spends the entire day lining the entire rim of scenic drive with about 4,000 luminarias. By nightfall, when we open the gates back up to traffic again at 6 p.m., you get to drive up and enjoy scenic drive even more spectacular than it normally is. 4,000 lit luminaries are going to guide you all the way along the mountain trail of scenic drive. And when you get to the top of the mountain, the man in the red suit and his cohorts are going to be waiting for you with a live nativity scene, beautiful holiday music, elves, angels, and your, opportunity to help out a family in need by giving canned goods and handing them over to Santa Claus.
La Fe has been here since 1967, right?
That's right. Long time.
It's an El Paso tradition, and it's an El Paso community action organization that helps this community grow.
Thank you for throwing the word action in there. You know, we organization today is a result of an incredible amount of passion and dedication and commitment, not just from our current administration, but from our founders. You know, we look back to them whenever we might need a little bit of inspiration and guidance. Those women, those grandmothers from Segundo Barrio that founded our organization back in 67, they were ladies, moms from the neighborhood, heads of families that had so many barriers and challenges in front of them, and none of them made them think for one second that they couldn't build a better future for their children and for their community and for themselves and for the children yet to come. And they knew that they wanted a future that was built on more access to education, more access to affordable, quality healthcare, dignified housing that was worthy of their families. Not the slums that many of them, unfortunately, had been living in out of just necessity and lack of opportunities and jobs, better future, the building blocks for a better community and better future. And they did it. They started out small, literally within the space of a tiny little slum apartment in what is now the corner of Father Rahm Avenue and Ochoa Street, directly across from our central clinic. And the organization grew from there, and it pretty much began skyrocketing in 92 when our current CEO, Mr. Salvador Valcorta, came in as head of the organization, and he took hold of those reins and transformed La Fe from literally La Fe Clinic, a one-facility organization, into the healthcare social justice corporation that it is today. El Paso countywide with 10 clinics all over the county, social services, community health, education, culture sites. It's all there for our community.
An incredible organization that La Fe is. Now let's center in on the event itself, the 23rd Navidad de La Fe Luminarias. If I'm driving and I have this inclination to jump out of the car and take a photo, am I going to be allowed or no?
Well, you're not supposed to, because traffic is going to be moving one lane westward across Scenic Drive over the mountain. Our friends from the El Paso Police Department will be there to keep everybody safe and secure, and hopefully they'll give you an opportunity to quickly get back in your car and keep things moving along. But again, to keep everyone safe, it's best if you want to take a picture, do it from within your vehicle, and just keep traffic flowing for everybody's safety.
It makes a lot of sense. Now, you take food donations at the top of the hill when you go visit St. Nick mm-hmm. and Mrs. Claus and all of the little elves and all of that. What should we bring? What should we leave at home?
Well, you have to remember that this event, the whole point of it is to help feed El Paso families who are facing great hunger. One of the statistics, and every year, Dennis, it gets worse. I remember a few years back when I was putting some information for this event back then together, the statistic that I was given from local food banks was that one in every 10 children in our area went to bed hungry at night. Most recently, I've been given a figure of 1 in 5 to 1 in 3. That's frightening to me. That's very scary to me. I have a lot of children in my life because of the work that we do at La Fe, the preparatory school. And I think of those little faces and I think these are children. I know some of them, their families are struggling. Kids in our neighborhood in Segundo Barrio, kids in any of the neighborhoods or the folks who are listening right now. The chances are very strong that we know a child, a family that is suffering, that is going to open their pantry doors and not have enough to build a good, healthy, nutritious meal. And so what we want to do is give our community the opportunity to not just enjoy a beautiful holiday spectacular event, but to give back to families in need. Remember that to build a healthy, nutritious meal for a child, for a family, you need protein. You need high fiber vegetables and good, healthy fruits, low sugar, low sodium. And what we're asking people to bring are items like peanut butter, low sugar, low sodium items, non-perishables, things like canned meats, canned tuna, canned chicken, canned hams, things like dry pastas, dry beans, dry rice, things that a family can take and build several good, strong, healthy meals to help get them through the holidays. Look through your cupboards, look in your pantry, look for items, make sure those expiration dates are not passed. By law, you know, items that are expired, we cannot put into a food pantry basket that we hand out. So we need to be careful. So check and make sure that the expiration date is not lapsed. Make sure the cans are in good condition. They're not, you know, dinged. If a little dent, no big deal. But make sure it doesn't have rust or it's not leaking. That we cannot accept and certainly cannot give out to a family in need. And so this is a good opportunity to, you know, take an hour or two, look through your cupboards, look for things you maybe have multiples of. A lot of folks give us, you know, little packs of those instant soups. Sometimes they've got some good protein in there. And for a family with kids, that's a good thing to share with somebody. Also, canned baby food is often an item that we're asked for. And people don't often think of it. You know, things like cans of spinach, green beans, mixed vegetables, carrots. All of those things can be combined and help a family build a nice meal together.
It is amazing how you can build a meal with something that for most people, they look at it and say, well, that's really simple. Like sardines. A can of sardines can go such a far way.
Mm-hmm. When did sardines become not a popular thing? I grew up on sardines. We eat them all the time. And I've noticed people, you know, kind of turn their nose up at them a little bit. They're missing out.
I think so, too. But
little olive oil, good stuff.
Yeah. Well, the point is that you can take things like sardines, like...
That's pure protein.
Oh, well, absolutely. You know, I've gone to stores where you see kippered fillets for a buck.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's the lunch.
Tasty little suckers.
Oh, yeah. You know, a can of beans, chili, soups. There are so many things to feed El Paso.
You know, and thanks to the generosity that people have shown this event and our community in years past, we typically, thanks to that one night of being up on Scenic Drive, you know, it's cold, it's often windy, we're still not sure what Mother Nature is going to send our way that night, next Saturday. We're hoping that, you know, cold, no big whoop. We can handle that. You bundle up and, you know, wear your costume and, you know, stiff upper lip and, you know, wave at the people and wish everybody a beautiful, happy, merry Christmas. It's the wind that can often shut us down, and hopefully things will be all right. But it's all worth it. Mm-hmm. Because once we get back to our facilities and we organize the food and go through it and, you know, build those food baskets, Dennis, there is nothing, I tell you, there is absolutely nothing that can fill your heart with such joy as this, knowing the feeling that when you knock on someone's door, and these families have already been identified by our staff and our folks out there throughout El Paso County as families in need. These families are already known to us as being families that are hurting. When you knock on their door and they see you, the look on their face, and they have no idea we're coming, by the way. This is a total shock to them. I've had people break down on me. I mean, I'm you might hear my voice right now. I'm getting a little emotional thinking about it, because of all the incredible moments that I've had in my 14 years at La Fe, the opportunity to take food to a hungry person and see the look in their eyes of sheer joy. And when they look at you and they say, thank you, because it's good to know somebody remembered me and my children. Alguien se acordó de mí. Somebody thought about us and wanted to do something to help me put food in my children's mouths. Nothing will bring joy to you like that moment. It's incredible.
Very nice. Again, this event is next Saturday, the 20th, and it starts at 6 p.m. on the east side of the town of the mountain on Scenic Drive at Richmond. So you want to head over to the east side of Scenic Drive and head west, but wait till the gates open at 6.
Yeah, the line may get long. It has in the past, but it's worth it. It's a free event. We're just asking you for canned foods and donations. If you'd like more information, folks can visit our Facebook site under Centro de Salud Familiar La Fe. The event link is there. Or you can call us at the La Fe Culture and Technology Center at 545-7190.
If you need all that information, it'll be up on our website here shortly. As always, Estela, mi casa, su casa, Feliz Navidad.
Ditto.
We've been talking to Estela Reyes Lopez from Centro de Salud Familiar de la Fe about next Saturday's 23rd annual Navidad de la Fe Luminaries on Scenic Drive. That information's up on our website, ktep.org. Just look for El Paso Primetime. The full-length version of that conversation will be up shortly on El Paso Primetime in the archive section of ktep.org. Tis the year end, and we certainly would love for you to support programs, local programs like El Paso Primetime, and up next, Perspectives on Film, State of the Arts, Good to Grow, Words on a Wire, Science Studio, ACT Radio, Animal Concerns of Texas. All of those local programs come to you through KTEP. You can make your year-end tax deduction happen right now, as a matter of fact, if you'll head to our website, ktep.org, and then click on the red Support KTEP button. By the way, your year-end contribution is tax deductible. Thanks for listening to this edition of El Paso Primetime. It's a production of KTEP. Both unedited versions, the full-length versions of the conversations we had today, will be up on our website under the archive section of El Paso Primetime on ktep.org. I want to thank our line producer and assistant producer, Deidre Westenhauser, for doing the recording for both of them, plus the editing. And thank you as well for listening to this edition of El Paso Primetime.